order.
For the second week in a row, the House was split right down the middle over legislation affecting workers. Last week was a members' bill moving observance of Waitangi Day and Anzac Day to Mondays, in years when those public holidays fall on a weekend. That passed on the bedrock majority in this parliament of 61 votes, defeating the 60 of National and ACT, with United Futures' Peter Dunn voting with the opposition. On Thursday, it was a bill bringing in a youth wage of $11 an hour for 16 to 19-year-olds. This time, Mr. Dunn rejoined National and ACT to give the government the bare majority of 61 votes for its minimum wage starting out wage amendment bill, launched into its third and final reading by the Minister of Labour, Simon Bridges.
The starting out wage will give young people the opportunity to get a foot in the door. This bill will provide a strong incentive for employers to take on young people.
Opposition to the bill was led by Simon Bridges' Labour shadow, Darian Fenton.
The passing of this bill today will create an underclass of young workers and consign them to economic marginalisation.
Darian Fenton in her first week back on Labour's benches, replacing Charles Chevelle, and that youth wage will be paid from May the 1st. Workers and jobs also featured in Question Times and were raised in response to Thursday's news of a larger-than-expected rise in GDP growth of 1.5% in the last quarter of 2012, delivered to the House for the Finance Minister by his Cabinet colleague, Stephen Joyce.
This is a reasonably encouraging result.
Questions for Mr. Joyce included this one from Winston Peters.
Will he explain to the country why foreigners are coming here in their thousands on work permits when a record number of young people who are New Zealanders can't get a job in their own country?
But Mr. Peters' claims were challenged by the minister.
The first leg of the question says record numbers coming to New Zealand. Well, that's obviously not correct when you look at the migration statistics.
Points of order, Right Honourable Winston Peters.
The New Zealand First Leader complained that Mr. Joyce had said he had claimed the number of foreign workers was a record.
I didn't say that. The Hansard will prove that. Now make him answer the question as you're required to do.
David Carter seemed to agree with Mr. Peters.
The member said that there were foreigners coming in their thousands.
But the speaker then took a bob each way.
And the minister satisfactorily addressed that question by disputing it. He is quite entitled to do so.
Mystified by that, Mr. Peters sought clarification.
If he gets up and he claims that I've made a statement which I didn't make, and the Hansard will show it, how then can you avoid making him answer the question?
Because I have told the member that I am satisfied that the member answered the question by saying he did not accept the suppositions that were raised by the member in asking the question.
Similar rulings by Mr. Carter ended in a confrontation on Wednesday with Greens co-leader Russell Norman.
Question time doesn't make sense if it's not also answer time. It was a very direct question. He hasn't answered the question.
Order.
The Greens co-leader called on Mr. Carter to apply the standard introduced by his predecessor, Lockwood Smith.
I would argue the key problem is that the decision or the ruling of Speaker Smith that a straight question gets a straight answer, that ruling is no longer being upheld under your new speakership, and that is creating disorder.
Order. That is now questioning the competence and the bias of the speaker. That is very serious.
Mr. Carter said he was endeavouring to elicit sensible answers.
But on many occasions, members are wanting the answer designed to their satisfaction. That's not what question time is.
Next day, though, the speaker seemed to be swinging round to the opposition's point of view.
It is a political contest, but it would be helpful if ministers would frankly just answer the question.
One question that opposition leader David Shearer may wish he hadn't asked was this one on Tuesday.
To the Prime Minister, does he stand by all his statements?
Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, yes, I do stand by all my statements, and by that I include bank statements.
Keen to cash in on the Prime Minister's reference to the opposition leader's admission that he had forgotten to register a New York bank account among his pecuniary interests was ACT leader John Banks.
Mr. Speaker, when the Prime Minister said it was unfortunate that Mr. Shearer forgot to disclose to Parliament
order,
the Speaker wasn't having that, and Mr. Banks had to wait till Wednesday's general debate to rub salt into Mr. Shearer's wound.
Where did he get the money from?
And Mr. Banks was delighted at the chance to quote Mr. Shearer's criticism of his $50,000 brain fade.
Any member who has a memory lapse is not worthy of holding public office, And the rooster is still in charge of the Labor Party chickens today.
The ACT Party's member for Epsom, John Banks. I'm Tom Frewin, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.